Welcome to You Learn Something New Every Day. I am Joan Boyko, Coordinator of Communications and Community Outreach for the Palm Springs Unified School District. We are here each Sunday at 9 a.m. on 92.3 FM KWXY. We also invite you to download and subscribe to our podcast. It's really easy. All you have to do is go to iTunes, look for You Learn Something New, press subscribe. You'll get a new show each Sunday afternoon. This show, of course, is produced by my extremely dedicated team of student interns here in the Digital Arts Technology Academy, also known as DATA, at Cathedral City High School under the direction of Mr. Bryce Johnson. Andre is on the board. Thank you, thank you. Haven't seen you in a while. Good to see you. You can talk. Her mic's not on. All right, I'll give you a break. Thanks for being here. And today on the show, I am very pleased to welcome our Palm Springs Unified Director of Assessment and Data, Mr. Jim Pfeffer. Welcome.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you for being here. And all our heads will be spinning by the end of the show because this is the numbers guy. And I'm just, every time I get together with you, my head spins just a little bit.
Well, hopefully not too bad.
You do. I'll be honest because looking at the charts and the graphs, I usually don't understand what I'm looking at, and then you explain it, and it's very clear. So,
well, I appreciate
you're
that.
You're good at your job.
We're in a data-heavy world in education, you know, using data, using analysis to determine, yes, you know, how we should get better and improve outcomes is part of the game. So there's a lot of different things to be looking at across the way.
And my hat's off to the people who not only can stand to work with the numbers all the time, but embrace it like you do. So I've told you that before. I'm just kind of in awe of it. But that's why we have different careers and different interests. And that's what makes the world go around, right?
Absolutely.
We all were interested in the same thing. It would be pretty boring. So, but I am envious of people who are so good with and don't get petrified when they have all these charts and graphs and numbers, because it really does make my head spin. A couple of weeks ago, and we have time, so I can digress a little bit, which I usually do anyway. Everybody's used to it. But a couple of weeks ago, Jim was presenting at the board meeting. We were talking about test results, and he wanted the board members and the people in the audience during the study session to get a feel for what the kids are experiencing on the state tests. So he presented us with a few math problems. I started to really broke out in a cold sweat because I just was like, wow.
Brought back all those school days of past, huh?
Well, I think I was capable of the third grade question, but barely. But beyond that, no. It was too much. Even the fifth grade question was tough for me, and the eighth grade question, I just kind of just put the paper down and said, I'll let others deal. How long you been in the district, Jim?
Oh, I'm in the middle of my 17th year, actually.
Wow.
In Palm Springs Unified, yeah.
Yeah, and what'd you do before you had this position?
Well, I've been to a few different places. So I spent some time teaching at the elementary level, taught a couple of different grade levels there, then moved on to become an assistant principal at one of our elementary schools, mm-hmm, and principal at the same location. And after that, I've moved on into the position I'm currently at as assessment and data analysis director, and this is my fourth year in that position.
Has it been that long?
Right? It already has been that long.
Wow. All right, so I have your title wrong because I said director of assessment and data. So.
Well, you just missed the analysis one.
Analysis.
That's okay.
Yes. I don't think that was on the directory list. That's where I got it from on the, you know, our phone directory. So, but the analysis is probably the most important part, because without that, like I said before, you don't know what you're looking at.
Yeah,
you need somebody to help you interpret it.
Right. That's the key component. You know, we can take a look at all the different numerics we want to, all the different measures and outcomes we want, but without having the conversation to support it or the story to support where the information comes from, it's hard to know what to do with the information.
So give us an overview of your job.
So my job has a few different layers. Primarily, I assist the Educational Services Department with looking at different measures of student outcomes so we can determine how our schools are doing, how students are doing, how well programs are working in order to get to the outcomes that they're designed to do. And then we take a look at the different pieces of information to make decisions as to how to move forward from there. The second major part really has to do with state accountability component. So it's keeping track of what types of things the state is holding our district and our schools accountable for. How are we doing in those measures? What might be some paths that we can take to improve those types of outcomes? We also measure some other things through our office, such as social emotional learning surveys go through our office, as well as a couple other components. And we like to use a lot of different pieces of information as we try to get a well-rounded picture of what's going on.
Excellent. And so a lot of what you do, as we discussed earlier, is crunch numbers and provide and analyze data for the state test scores. So what areas are you looking at when you do that?
So when I'm looking at things like state test scores, you look at overall how the entire district is doing. You look at overall scores for a school. And that gives you one picture of what's going on. You know, it just gives you a very surface level. Once you get past that, you start to dive deeper into how are different groups of students doing. So for instance, are English learners progressing in the same way as other students are? Do we see similar outcomes for students that are in particular programs or that are participating in particular pathways or in particular courses? So we are able to break up our student information in a variety of different ways to really get the best idea. The two most common ways that we look at that information is how many students are meeting the standards, essentially clearing the line to say that, you know, they're prepared to move forward into college and career following high school. The other way that we look at that is how far away are they from that line in what's referred to as a distance from met or a distance from standard. And that's actually what the state accountability system is set up for now.
So who decides what that is? The state?
Yeah, so the state accountability system is actually determined by the State Board of Education through consultation with the California Department of Education. And the kind of short path to get there is there's a number of different advisory groups that the California Department of Education looks at. A couple are very technical, looking at data analysis models. Others are more programmatic, and they look at how are they best servicing groups of students, what are the statewide trends, and they make recommendations to the State Board of Education as to how those models are set up. That has to tie directly to federal law, in this case the Every Student Succeeds Act, also known as ESSA, where the state plan is written to meet those requirements. And so the accountability system is really the bridge between what's happening at the schools and meeting the requirements set forward by the State Board of Education and at the same time the federal government.
So a few years ago, before we had the smarter balance,
summative assessments.
Okay,
there you go.
Also known as SBAC. Before we had that, we had a different testing system.
Right.
And that was on, there was also a different accountability system, right?
It was.
So if I recall correctly, California always came out looking horrible because California has pretty rigorous standards for their kids in terms of what proficiency means. Mm-hmm. And states were basically able to decide what constitutes proficiency. And California always had the bar was higher. So it looked like if you compared us to Texas and other states that we were performing lower, but in essence it was the expectations were higher.
Yeah, it was a combination of factors. So in that old system, we had higher levels of expectations. Our standards were more rigorous than in a lot of locations. And they were very different state to state with what was expected of students. The other thing that factors into California is just the level of diversity across the state. And so really we have a really neat tapestry of student population. We're making sure that the things that we're measuring and the way that we're looking at student progress really has to cover a lot of different need groups, as well as a lot of different groups that have a lot of different attributes to them. The previous system didn't do any of that. It was very much a, did you hit this bar or not? And it was a very punitive-based system, where if you didn't meet a target, you were automatically put into sanctions, or you had a group that would come in that would try to modify the programs instead of giving them time to prosper and learn. The new system is much better aligned when it comes to those kinds of structures.
So basically, the whole country is measuring the same standards, yes?
So most states in the country are using what are referred to as the Common Core state standards. Mm-hmm. Each state has the ability to add a little nuance that's signed on to that. There are a few states that don't use those sets of standards. They use what ends up being pretty similar sets, though, but with more modifications. You see a couple of those in the middle part of the country.
Is the testing the same, though, or is the testing decided by the state and each state is still...
Testing is still decided by each state.
Uh-huh.
The Smarter Balance tests, like California uses, are used in about 14, 15 states across the country. Many states across the West Coast use them, Oregon, Washington, California. There's another group of tests called the PARC tests that a lot of states in the Midwest and in the Northeast utilize. And then outside of that, a number of different states have chosen to create their own assessments in order to measure progress on their standards. And those are specific by state.
Okay, so when you make comparisons, as everybody does, and I know members of our Board of Education have said more than one time, we really don't care how everyone else is doing. We just want to improve our students to improve, and of course that's the goal. Mm-hmm. However, and I think they've come around now to realize that. You really have to make comparisons because you want to know how you're doing against like, or in comparison to, I don't want to say against, in comparison to like populations, right? So what do you look at when you do comparisons?
So we do a variety of comparisons. You know, we talk about status, which is our current performance. And we like to see how are we doing against the state as a whole. We like to see how we're doing within our own county. We also like to see how we're doing with geographic neighbors. In our case, a couple other districts in the valley here, and we always kind of match up and see, okay, how are we growing in comparison to the way that they're growing? When we're talking about more of an apples-to-apples comparison, where we really want to find places that are very similar to us, we start to use demographics to help with that. So we have some districts across the state that we have kind of identified as having similar levels of socioeconomic needs, similar levels of English learners, similar levels of foster youth within their districts. And we like to compare ourselves to that group to say, okay, those that are getting similar state levels of funding due to their student population, those that have similar need sets, how are we doing in comparison to those? In addition, those districts that are similar sized. So comparing a similar need district to something to a group that is much smaller in population or much larger in population might not get quite the same comparison. So we have a group of between 13 and 15 different districts that we tend to match up against when we're doing a lot of those comparative reports in order to match those pieces up where we're saying similar size, similar need sets.
And how are we doing in comparison to those districts?
Well, pleased to say we're doing fairly well. Although I think we would all agree that we'd like to see more of our students performing at a high level. When we compare ourselves to those groups, we're in the top two or three in both English language arts and mathematics, which is outstanding. We have the nice part is that gives us somebody to chase after and say, yeah. Okay, who's doing a little bit better than us? And in what ways are they using their tools in order to get a slightly better outcome? But it also validates a lot of the hard work that our teachers and students put in on a daily basis. And that's important.
I think I heard I'm probably going to mess up exactly what he said. But one of our board members speaking to a community organization, and he said, and maybe it was a county comparison, but he said, based on our demographics, mm-hmm. we should be at number 13. And I think he said in Riverside County, out of the 23 districts, but we're actually number 7. Is that right? Or
well, it's
I was close?
You're close. Yeah. So the comparison that we gave to the board showed the levels of need in all of the districts in the county. In that, actually, out of the 22 districts in the county, we're actually 20th when it comes to the amount of
poverty,
resources
right.
that our students have.
Yeah.
So we're top 3 in poverty level.
Wow. And I just found that out. When all this came about, I'm like, well, I knew it was high poverty. I didn't realize it was that high.
Absolutely. When you count our students in socioeconomic need and English learner status, foster youth, we're sitting at over 85%, close to 90% of our student population falls into one or more of those categories, which again puts us in the top three in terms of need. Our student performance, however, in the county is up around that 12-13 ranking. So we're right in the middle of all of those districts. So we're outperforming what might be expected of us based on the way that the state does their funding formulation,
which is
a great place to be.
Yeah. And if you're just joining us, you're listening to Learn Something New Every Day on 92.3 FM KWXY. And our guest is our Director of Assessment and Data Analysis.
There you go.
This is Jim Pfeffer. And right now we're talking about test scores, comparing them. I mean, we don't only compare test scores. That's not the only thing we look at. Mm-hmm. That's the thing that pops out and everybody wants to know, how are you doing in English, language, arts, and math? Right. Those are the big ones. We also look at social studies, science.
So internally, we look at social studies, we look at science, we look at things like foreign language and some of our CTE pathways, for instance, career tech ed pathways. There is a state test that's now in place for science. It goes fully operational this year, so we're going to get some brand new science data into the system here starting in the summer of 19, which will be outstanding.
And what grade level is that?
So that's still done one time per grade span. So
Okay. It's
given to all fifth graders, all eighth graders, and then high school's a little interesting. It used to be only 10th graders. Now they want the student to take it at the end of their science course sequence, so it'll be either 11th or 12th grade for most students.
Okay.
And they can choose as to which grade they take those in. So most of our high schools are having our 12th graders take that because a lot of our students are taking 3 or 4 years of
Is
science.
Is it the same though? I mean, like, it's not, so you're not taking a test in biology or chemistry. It's comprehensive?
It's comprehensive across all the different subjects, yeah. So it incorporates the next generation science standards, which break apart four main content areas, conceptual ideas. And it, the way that the test is constructed is it bounces between those ideas to see how well balanced the student's understanding of all those concepts are in things like life science or in earth and space science, etc. Then it plays off those strengths as it gets more complex and sees, okay, well, just how far is the student's knowledge, you know, able to have them demonstrate their abilities? So it's really kind of an interesting test construct. We'll be interested to see how these first set of scores come out.
So let's say, and I don't know, you I know, but what grade is what kind of science, but let's say though you haven't had bio in 2 years or 3 years, do you study for that, or do you just, it's whatever you retained and that's what they really want to know?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both, to be honest. You can improve your skills and understanding a little bit. A lot of it is interpreting the information that you're given. So in this case, you'll see some visual models, some little interactions will show up on the computer screen. There'll be a reading passage, per se, that'll help get you some information, and you have to process that with your prior knowledge.
And isn't that really, it kind of brings us full circle in terms of the testing, the whole concept, right? It's not the same kind of test that they were before, where, you know, you're memorizing math formulas and stuff.
Right.
You have to show that you know what to do with them and how you got the answer, and you, it's not a simple word problem where you can find the answer within the you have to
Correct.
Do a lot of deducing. And is that even a word?
Yeah, there's a lot of reasoning that goes on
as part
of the test.
That's when I get loopy.
Well, the beauty of computer-based testing, especially adaptive testing, which some of our tests now are, is it really stretches the student ability based on how well they're answering things. And it will present questions and items in different ways. So in some cases, it might be a traditional multiple choice type
right.
item. In other ways, it may be something where they have to enter a small text and entry and justify their reasoning, or they have to type an essay into the system. Or like I was saying with science, they have to watch a simulation and then answer a couple of questions based off of what they witnessed there on the screen. So it really is a very different structure than what was used previously.
So can these tests still be graded by like a Scantron? I mean, or people have to actually rate them.
So most items can be auto-scored by the computer system. So
okay.
anything that has either a very short text entry, a word or two in that case, or a selected response, drop down, click on a point on a graph, or a multiple
yeah.
choice type question, very quickly scored automatically by the system. longer passages are still scored by humans. And there's a network across all of the Smarter Balance states that the items that our students complete get sent to this network of trained teachers who then score those items based on scoring rubrics and report the scores back in that then gets added into
the
test.
Is that all these people do?
No, they're actually full-time regular teachers that sign up for this as an extra time item on their own. So,
Do you do this?
I don't do that personally, no. I'm familiar with the training. I'm familiar with some of the rubrics and things that they use. But no, I don't currently participate in that part of the program. We do, however, have one or two teachers that have expressed interest.
Wow. Mind-boggling. Okay. Before we run out of time, so I want to talk about a couple things. How are our English learners doing?
English learners were struggling in certain areas. There are some things that they're performing very well in. For instance, their English language acquisition, their ability to use English skills in an academic way, we're doing quite well in. We're able to get the students moving up the scale and reclassifying as English proficient, which is outstanding. Basically creating bilingual students along the way, which is awesome to see. However, when a lot of these students are taking the Smarter Balance tests or they're taking those standardized tests, they struggle, in part due to the complexity of the reading and the high level of vocabulary that's involved. So we're trying to give them a lot of different supports and a lot of different programs in order to assist them in their performance. We want to see them as successful as possible moving through school and prepared for college or career following high school. So really making sure that we're targeting their specific needs is important.
Yeah, and most definitely. And then we have something called the California Dashboard.
Correct.
Which is not brand new, but it's evolving kind of as we go along. So
it is. And in fact, it's getting a facelift this year. It's going to look very different to this year than it has
but
in the past.
Than it has in the past. It's only, what, 2 or 3 years old to begin with?
2 years old, yes. Yeah, the initial
but that's
version
the way it
changed.
Works, especially in California. You know, as soon as you think that something's set in place, they change it. So let's say I'm a parent and I have my, I got a report in late July or early August about how my kid did.
Right.
Now I want to see where he or she fits in the spectrum, and there's this thing called the dashboard. So walk us through, could take an hour, but we don't have an hour. Walk us through in a couple of minutes
how to
where do you start and what do you do with it?
Yeah. So one of the important things to keep in mind with the California School Dashboard is that's really where the data for the accountability system is shown. So you're not going to see individual student data. You'll see groups of students, you'll see schools, you'll see districts involved in the program. And one of the big important pieces to understand is that there are multiple measures that say whether a school or a district is being successful. We've alluded to some of that today with talking about things like SEL measures and other topics. The California School Dashboard puts those into a digestible form using a color system, where each measure is given in basically a red to blue rating as it follows the rainbow, in order to give an idea of how both the current status is on a measure and how it's been changing in recent years. So in each case, it's not just where you are now, but it's also how are you improving? How is that measure changing over time? And so although many layers in that system might show as a red or an orange status, the way that the measures work is that you can be rewarded with a higher performance level by increasing results, or in the case of suspension rate, decreasing results.
Mm-hmm.
So getting a picture of the school, getting a picture of the district, will in the dashboard use multiple layers of information. So you can look at those Smarter Balance tests like we refer to. You can look at the absentee rates and the suspension rates of students at the school. At the high school level, you can look at both graduation rate and a college career indicator that takes into account things like AP classwork or career tech ed completion and a number of other different variables. It can give you an idea of how students are both in the classrooms and exiting the classrooms.
That was very well done, Jim, because I didn't think you could, but you always do. You explained it very well, succinctly, and they used to use like pie.
Trivial pursuit.
They're not doing that anymore.
No, they've switched over to a gas gauge kind of model, yeah.
Which I actually think is easier to look at and understand.
Yeah,
I agree.
I
think it it's more relatable, I think. Mm-hmm. So when you're, you know, want to take some time, and the dashboard's supposed to be updated sometime this month. It may actually be done by the time this airs. It should.
It would be up by the time this airs, okay, if everything's good on schedule. And you would go to caschooldashboard.org in order to access the information. Then just look up the name of the school or the name of the district right on the front page there, and you'd be provided with a lot of information.
And there's some tutorials on there, too.
There's some walkthroughs and some directions.
If you don't quite understand what you're looking at. So very cool. So any changes that are coming up in terms of the state testing this spring?
Not a lot of changes this spring. As we've already noted, the science test will be slightly different this year than it was last year, now that it's in its operational and final form. So we're going to get a good flavor as to what that's like for all of our students. For English, Language Arts, and Mathematics, very similar to what's been done in the past. There are a couple of small adjustments to the alternate exam, where our students that have very significant cognitive disabilities, they take a slightly different version of these tests. There are some adjustments there, especially with science. However, they're positive changes. So it evolves in the case of science, instead of having to take a test at the end of the year, they're actually taught some of the unit and then take that part of the test right then after learning the material and then move on to the next segment. So it's not so much about what can you remember 6 months later, it's what do you recall from what you're getting right now. So a little bit of a different flavor than that end of year test that model that we're used to. Other than that, it'll be very similar. We'll have English learner testing going on also in the spring, so it'll be a busy time for everybody at the school sites. And then we look forward to seeing the results of everybody's hard work over the course of the year in the summertime.
Right. And are you involved in, like, actually testing administration? Or
So I do get involved a bit in that. I train the test site coordinators who are in charge of managing the testing at each one of the school sites. They then monitor the testing that's going on at the schools, and I visit and drop into classrooms during testing to make sure that, you know, the rules are being followed and that the tests are being administered in a reliable and valid way. Occasionally, I will test a student or two just to experience it myself. For the most part, though, our schools do a really good job of making sure that all the protocols are followed and all the systems are done correctly.
And what's the window for the spring test?
So for our English learner test, it actually starts real early, February 1st to May 31st. For English language arts and science, you're looking at late March, about March 25th or so, wrapping around spring break, and then through the month of May to May 31st.
And is that up to the schools when they want to do it, or is it decided by somebody else?
So the district has to open the window for all the schools to use. And then what our schools do is they look at their end of the year calendars and make some plans to make sure that they can get the most number of completed students. Participation rate is something that's monitored. So at all of our schools, we need to have at least 95% of every group of students represented in our test results. So attendance during that time is critical to make sure that students are there and able to complete their tests in a timely manner.
There's no makeups.
There's some makeups if the window's still open. So what most of our schools will do is they'll leave a couple of weeks at the back end of that open time frame available to help pick up on students that may have been absent.
And are they able to take components of it? Because it's not a one-day thing. It goes on for a few days.
It goes on for a couple of days, yeah.
So if they missed one day, they're able to just make up that part.
They actually, the beauty of computer-based testing, they pick up right where they left off, and they keep right on going.
Excellent. Jim, you're pretty awesome.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you for everything that you do and for being willing to do this job, because that's not for everybody.
Well,
You know, you're good at it, and you seem to enjoy it. So
well, I do enjoy it. You know, it's a interesting dynamic piece of the district that doesn't always get looked at all the way, but is often very helpful for everybody.
But you come across as being very passionate about it, and that's important.
Well, thank
Without
you.
The passion, then nobody's going to take you seriously. So thank you very much for what you do. And next week, our guest will be our Director of State and Federal Programs, Mark Arnold. Our show airs each Sunday right here on 92.3 FM. KWXY, our podcast, is uploaded each Sunday afternoon. Please subscribe by going to iTunes. Look for You Learn Something New and press subscribe. Please tell all your friends to do the same. Thank you, Andrea. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week.